Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
I have seen gods fly. I've seen men build weapons that I couldn't even imagine.
Uh-huh.
I've seen aliens drop from the sky.
Yeah.
But I have never seen anything like this. How much more are you hiding?
Hola. Let's go. Go.
We are home. My son, it is your time.
Show me my respect and bow down.
You get to decide what kind of king you are going to be. Don't freeze.
I never freeze.
The revolution will not be televised.
Show me my respect. And bow down. We own ya. We own ya. We only getting started now. Cause we own ya. You gotta think they know me now. Cause we own ya. You and not my homie. Cause we own ya.
I waited my entire life for this. The world's gonna start over. I'ma burn it all.
What happens now determines what happens to the rest of the world.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out.
What's going on forever?
The revolution will not be televised.
Let's have some fun.
The revolution will be live.
It's the Benny Randall Show. Welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And this powerful show brings you conversations with today's stars and tomorrow's legends. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Come on.
It's the Benny Randall Show. I love the Benny Randall Show.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And like always, you know how you can reach me, right? You can reach me at BennyRandall.com or you can go to our private community at BennyOnDemand.com. This episode of Benny Randall Show is sponsored in part by Black Panther Movie in theaters February 16th. It's one of the hottest movies to ever come out. Make sure you guys go out. Today's show is, like all our other shows, extraordinary. We have MCADE, born Adrian Hines. He's an American music producer and rapper who's pioneered the hip-hop subgenre of bass music. His 1985 single, Bass Rock Express, is considered to be the start of bass music. His single, Bass Mechanic, is also considered a seminal example. He recorded on the Foresight record label, which was owned by his father, Billy Hines. His name stands for Adrian Does Everything, which refers to the fact that he both rap and produced his own records. MCADE started out by surprise to himself at the young age of 13, as he followed his father into the studio, who was producing another project with other artists at the time, artists MC Chief and Sexy Lady, song title Beef Box. And while there, Sexy Lady asked him what did he think about their track, and he replied, "I would do it totally different." So they scratched the original track that they were working on and started on a new track that would be the first record to be produced by MC ADE, and it became Foresight's first record and first hit. His father recognized his son had a hidden talent, which was an ear for music, and his desire to create new genre of music, which he did, and he called it bass music. With a list of hits to his credit, such as Bass Rock Express, Bass Mechanic, How Much Can You Take, D-Train, Nightmare, On ADE Street, ADE Got It Going On, Sex, Crime, and Drugs, My Bass Is In It, Control Party, DJ Eddie B, Romantic Rhyme, to name a few. That's more than a few. That's a lot of hits going right there, ladies and gentlemen. Along with the title called Hit Harder, which inspired the tune by 8Ball and MJG, entitled Pimp Hard, Pimp Harder, and many more. As many other artists have been inspired and have done renditions of MCADE's music around the world, such as UK, Germany, Asian, Brazil, which is considered, he is considered the godfather of bass music. As bass is used as a driving force of the music today, which he is world-renowned, recognized for, and has produced gold and platinum albums to his credit. Now, with the maturity and passion endeavors, his faith leads him to the consciousness of what he puts out to the world, mainly for the youth of tomorrow, as he feels it is his responsibility to help motivate the youth of tomorrow. And to add to his credentials, he is now a published author. And we're going to get into that later in the interview. MCAD, thank you for being on the Benny Randall Show, brother.
Thank you, my brother. How you doing?
Ah, come on, man. You know I'm blessed and highly favored. How about yourself?
Excellent. Same here.
There it is. Man, you've been around for quite a long time. And for those in the world, everybody still don't know how much you gave to the bass music era. We've had several shows on addressing this, so it's good to have you here also. At the age 13, did you know you had that ability to produce music?
Well, it probably says 13 or what have you on my bio, but I think the age would probably rather be more like 12, because I started working at my father's record store a year prior, that's when I was 11. But my mother had stores as well, and you know, we had jukeboxes in the store, and I could, you know, me and my brother and sister, we were able to play the music for free on the jukebox. So Michael Jackson, James Brown, and then you had whatever blues and hot blues or what have you, ZZ, you know, all the hot stuff. So you imagine, you know, as a kid coming up, and my mom had her store, probably was like 7, 8, 9, those years of my life, you know. And, you know, and we listened to the radio all the time. So it was just inundation with music that really, you know, I mean, it just kept going. So when I got to my father's record store and started learning that, it was like going to college.
Mm.
As a kid, people looked at me as a kid, but I was a swift kid. Okay. Thank the father for that. But I picked up real quick, and I got a lot of information, you know, so I was able to do things that, you know, just wasn't average kid stuff.
So it sounded like you were born to do music.
I think so.
Wow, that's amazing. So what is your take on today's artists versus what you guys were doing back in the days?
You know, I mean, it's like what they were saying when we came up, you know, that rap wouldn't last, and it was garbage and junk. So with the kids today, it's their vibe. It's their understanding. Mm-hmm. It's where they're at in this time right now with music. So I'm not hard on the kids about, you know, their music or what it is or how it sounds necessarily. Some of it is, you know, out to lunch, but, you know, it's always like that. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you mean. Every era has their rebels. It's right. Basically what it is. Even back in the James Brown days, they, you know, they had their music rebels, as we say. He say out to lunch. That's a very kind way to say it. I'm gonna have to use that from now on when I'm trying to explain things that are interesting. They are out to lunch, basically. I appreciate that. Let it be known I stole that from MCAD right here. That's a very kind one. I guess that shows your maturity of where you're at right now. So let me ask you this now. You also put out a hot new record, and it's almost like you did not skip a beat. How did that new single come about?
Well, what happened with that is my, you know, a couple years back, about 2 or 3 years back, my daughter, she came to me and, you know, I didn't know she was like secretly writing. So she was writing music and, you know, writing, you know, lyrics and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. She let me hear one day and it blew me away. And I was like, the first song that she, like, was, you know, giving me these lyrics and reading to me. And I was like, who wrote that? And she was like, I wrote it. And I was like, well, let me hear something else. And then, she piqued my interest. It was really, you know, it was something. And then she said she wanted to make a record. So I was like, you tripping. You know what I'm saying?
that's dad answer, huh? You tripping?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, I have really left the music business alone because of all the politics and all kind of foolishness. You know what I'm saying? So, and I did what I did in the music business, you know, to a great feat, you know? So I was cool, you know what I'm saying? And at the same token, doing music was not something that I necessarily thought I would be doing. Like you said, I just went in the studio by happenstance with my father. And next thing you know, I'm producing a record. Had no clue. It was never like really a desire of mine. It just was something that was in me that I didn't know and nobody else knew. You know, but my daughter, it was like I had to do the doting fatherly thing. And uh-huh. I was like, okay, I can't. She has this inspiration. She has this desire. So I have to be a good father and be a good dad, should I say, and, you know, and help her in whatever way I can, because the mm-hmm. wolves out there waiting on her. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So I had to, you know, I had to apply myself. And I did. And I started, you know, helping her and working with her. And
Isn't it amazing? I just want to filter off that for a sec. Isn't it amazing? It's like from one generation to the other generation, your father didn't know that you had that ability, that he allowed you to express yourself. And now you didn't know that your daughter had that ability and you allowed her to express herself. That's amazing.
Yeah. That is something. So I started getting back into it. Now, people have been trying to get me back in the game forever. You know what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. I just, like I said, I didn't really, you know, I was just, you know, not dealing with it. But when it came to her, to doing something for her, is why I got back into it. And then I didn't even try and get back into it myself. I wanted to play the background role. You dig what I'm saying? And just mm-hmm. produce. And, you know, it's kind of strategic for her, you know, far as the people. So, and I had a lot of fans and stuff that still look to me. So I was like, okay. And she wanted to do one of my old cuts. So I kind of, you know, did the cut with her, and I didn't kind of mean for it to do it that way. I was, you know, trying to figure out, but it just worked. It just, you know, it just meshed. So we did the record together. and, you know, the people, and we just put it out, you know, like a week or so ago.
Uh-huh. And give my listeners the title of that record and where could they find that?
It's called Bass Mechanic, parentheses, My Daddy Made That Bass. And you can find it on all outlets, iTunes, everywhere. Just pull it up. It comes up. You can go on YouTube and see the little video we did to it. We did a clip video. It's not necessarily the video of us right now, but we did the premiere clip video just to give you visuals while you listening to this fantastic song.
For those that may not have heard of MCAD, like you was under a rock, we're here in New York City. I'm going to give you a world premiere right here on the Benny Randa Show, live from New York City. Brooklyn, Queens, Long Island, Manhattan, worldwide, global. Here's a little taste of that bass, baby.
I'm your bass mechanic. You want that bottom, we got it. We dropping low, low, low. Now they shaking, we got it. I'm your bass mechanic. You know we banging that bottom. We about to blow, blow, blow. Bring it back up and drop it.
What I'm talking about. You saw that was hot. That's a hot jam. So it when I listen to that song, Adrian, it seems like you really didn't skip a beat to be away from music that long and come back, and it's got a fresh appeal to it. That's extraordinary. That lets you know that you can take the man out of music, but you can't take the music out of the man.
Yes. This is true.
Why did you fall back from the music business, though? What? I mean, this is your love.
It was just the game had changed. People started getting on records. That's when the gangster stuff started coming out, and they started lying. And
you say they started lying.
I just couldn't keep up. You know what I'm saying? I just couldn't. You know, I couldn't falsify information like that. It was just, you know, it was just too fake for me. You know what I'm saying? So
people was not dancing no more, is what you're saying, basically. Because that's where you did. You made music that made people want to have a good time.
Yeah, yeah, this is true. You know, but I got records where I told stories and rapped as well. But the thing, like I said, the main thing for me was the game. Like you said, the game was changing with the music, with the style of music, and then you had to. Like I say, you basically had to be lying or telling these. You know, I could talk about street stuff. I lived in the streets. I came up in the Pork and Beans in Liberty City. You know what I'm saying? I lived that life. You dig what I'm saying? But that wasn't, as far as for me, promoting that to the youth as I became more conscious as well. That wasn't the thing to be doing. That wasn't, you know, that wasn't what was popping, you know, and I didn't really grow up like that anyway, as far as, you know, my parents and my guidance, you know. Mm-hmm. I grew up with a little more respect in my day, you know what I'm saying? Even though I did trip, you know, but, you know, we still had respect, you know?
That's very, very powerful. And in the interest of full disclosure, you know, I used to live in Fort Lauderdale, and I used to go to this record store in the Lauderhill Mall, where I became aware of MCAD. So it's amazing years later that he's still banging it out. Now, the only difference is we all got children. We got big children, you know what I mean? You know, in that aspect. So it's extraordinary. So let me ask you this now. You made this single. Are we expecting a new album from MCADE?
I don't know, because it's really like, I you know, that's my daughter on the single as well.
Uh-huh.
it's you know, people are pulling to it because of me, you know, and they're getting abreast with her.
Because the ADE, I'm gonna be very clear. Now, it's only me, you, and a few million people listening to it, so you can answer the question now. So I just want to be very clear. All of New York City, and just a few million people. It's not many. Are you gonna make an album? I just want to let you know this is being recorded. Go ahead.
Listen, I love music. You know, music is all in my bones. You know what I'm saying? So I will do more music with my daughter and far as producing her. So if it'll be a thing more so like, you could say I'll be like a kind of like of a DJ Khaled. You dig what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Because I'll be producing it. I'll be there, you dig? And you'll hear things from me or what have you, but I'm more so...
AD, are you running for office?
No.
if y'all see how he just like kind of went around that question, he didn't say yes, he didn't say no. He just kind of said, I don't know. But remember, we got it on tape right here, the world. We got it on tape here. No, I understand where you're going. I'm just putting you on the hot seat right there. And while we got you already in the hot seat, let us move to something before we move to this awesome book that you have. While we got you on the hot seat, there was a lot of controversy out. It seemed to have settled down a little something about who started bass music. And we bought the world famous Ron May on here, kind of broke a lot of down. We brought Gigolo Tony, the one and only. we didn't hear back from Luke at this time. So my question to you, did you start bass music? Did Foresight start bass music? Or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I
have to ask.
Okay, well, I'll tell you this. What happened, it kind of, until all this stuff really came up, it really brought up me to think and started me to think it, because the first record that started New York was the only place doing hip hop. And because my father back then, my dad, he was getting music out of New York, you know, all the, you know, new stuff, you know, with the Tila Rock, you know, It's Yours and Mantronics and different things like that. Which I shout out to Tila Rock, because Tila Rock and Mantronics, what they were doing at the time is really what, you know, impressed me and made an impression upon me far as with the heavier sound, with the heavier kick drum and, you know, that bass sounding like sound. Mm-hmm. And back here in Florida, I always, in my father's store, in my dad's store, I would turn the bass knob all the way, you know, as far as I could get it, but I just couldn't get it the way I wanted it or enough.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got to the studio by happenstance that night with Sexy Lady and MC Chief, I ended up producing that record. But what you can say, that record there, that record was the first record of, you know, hip hop in the South, first hip hop record in the South. And that goes covering everywhere. That covers California, that covers, you know, Louisiana with Master P and all that, you know, Jermaine. We used to get demos from Jermaine Dupri. All them cats know new or Foresight records. You know what I'm saying?
Because Ron May said that everybody. Ron May did confirm that part of it. I guess he said that because a lot of people was going off to, you know, when Luke got on the BET Awards and it was like, you know, he started bass music in the South. So, but it seems like people were saying that BET didn't do enough research, you know, et cetera, et cetera. In going further enough back. You know, your record out before Luke Records?
Yes.
When did your first record come out, and when did Luke's first record come out?
Well, Beatbox, which was Foresight's first record, which was the record that I produced, came out in 84.
Okay, 1984. Okay.
1984. And you got to remember, back then when we did records, it might have taken us months before we put it out. So we did the record in 83 and then put it out by the time, you know, like 84. You understand what I'm saying? Right. So because we was new to it, so a lot of procedures and different things, just you know not knowing what, and it was a big project. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's how that went.
You didn't have the major funds like the Sony's, and at that time where you could just blanket right. everything at once and it's all over the world.
Right. And it was more so a lot of lack of know-how. You understand? So
because you guys was learning as you go.
Right. Yeah, my dad was learning, so it was like, okay. And it was like, okay, well, we got to get this done. We got to get the labels. We got to do this. And it's just timing, and you know, just timing just got ate up like that. And it was no pressure because it was a project, and he was thinking like, hey, it's a big deal. So, you know, so not realizing, like I say, lack of knowledge was a lot of that.
When did Luke's record come out? Because I don't think you mentioned that.
I think Luke came out, he came out in 86, I think his record came out.
So that would have been 2 years behind the first record you guys put out. Is that what you're saying?
Right. And even the record I did as an artist, I came out, that came out in 85. You know what I'm saying? We did that in 85. So, and, all right, you then. Know.
So yeah. what I want to put it on, say, like I always tell my listeners and my Google squad, as I say, Google it, you know, and yeah, fact check. Google just Google it, you know, and see if he's telling the fact truth. Okay.
Hey,
that's what we do.
Out.
We Google-licious up in this piece. Go ahead.
Hey, but check it out. What happened? Somebody on Facebook, and when that whole thing kicked off, and they was like, well, I Googled it, and it said Luke came out first before you. And I said, look at that. Now we know Google has got it messed up.
Oh, really? Google got it wrong? Hold up.
Google got it wrong. You understand? Because that's before Google time. Google is just getting information that was given to it. You dig what I'm saying? So
to my friends at Google, just the opinions expressed here are strictly those of MCADE.
are you telling me Google got it wrong?
Yeah. Did Wikipedia get it wrong too? Is that what we're saying here?
Well, you know, there was this guy who went on and he kind of tried to altered, you know, because they used to alter that Wikipedia stuff, but I don't think Wikipedia necessarily got that part wrong.
Okay, then this is all my listeners have to do. Then Google the images of the record.
The images of the records
will say exactly, and that will bring it up. So all my Google issues, send me the image of the record. And we can put that on. That's why we did it right here today. All right. Trust me, it'll probably be on before the show over. But it's amazing how when things happen prior to this mega system of information that we live in, you know, things can get conscrewed. But you can't change the records. You can't change the face of the records.
You can't change that.
So that has to be there for all of those people, because I've seen a lot of the back and forth going on online. So, and I think I've seen some of those comments, you know, people saying, oh no, when we had Fat Man on, Ron May, I've seen a lot of those images, you know, not images, I mean, the banner. Because, you know, people go crazy on Facebook and Twitter when they fight, and I don't even understand it. Ain't nobody going to win no prizes, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's extraordinary, you know. For those that are just joining us, you're listening to The Benny Randall Show, live from New York City and worldwide on iHeartRadio. You can also find us on Amazon Echo, Apple TV, iTunes. Let me tell you something. You can find us anywhere that you can stream audio. That's just how it's going down. It's not a game. It's a lifestyle. We're speaking to rapper, producer, and now author, MC ADE. Make sure you guys send in your comments. Let us know what you're thinking on our iHeart page or on Bashani Radio. Leave your comments and let us know what you think, because you guys are very boisterous and we love that engagement. And if it's something that we don't know, we will find out. So, and Google those images so we'll set the record straight. So, MCAD, let's move forward now. An author. Go ahead, my brother.
We understand with the Luke situation. Luke know better. He know what time it is, you know. Because we actually we sat down, me and my father sat down with Luke about putting him out, distributing his record. Okay. Mm. So we were already successful. We were already doing it. So anyway, but one other issue I would like to clear up. There was an engineer that I did Bass Rock Express with, and he's out now claiming, and his name is Amos, okay? And he's out, you know, ever since this, like I said, this guy was trying to get me to be on Facebook at the time a couple of years ago, some years back. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really into that because I didn't grow up with this kind of stuff with Facebook and people in your life and knowing all your business and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I wasn't really into it. And anyway, this guy, Papa Wheelie or something, he was doing a, he came down, I think they say he was from Jacksonville or something, but he wanted to do a history on Miami Bass, you know? And so
I've heard his name in the internet.
Yeah, he's a white guy or something. I don't know what he is, but he came and the thing was, so I talked to him, you know, and, you know, we talked and he was like, oh, it's great to meet you, talk to you, yada, yada. But he wanted me to stay engaged on his site and, you know, on the face. And I wasn't into that. So he kind of got pissed with me. and then he went and found the engineer, because there were mistakes made on the labels back in the day. The engineers, we didn't know no better. And my dad was giving the engineers producer credit, which they should not have been getting. Mm. You understand what I'm saying? So on Bass Rock Express, the engineer, he got the producer credit. So they ran with that because, like, yo, it says you're the producer, yada, yada. And the thing is, now he's telling stories. He's going to, you know, people, that, you know, it's become a big thing now. And he's doing these interviews and they're saying, oh, he started this and he did this and that. And he tell people when, you know, in the articles I seen where he says we came in the studio and he told me and my dad to sit down and he produced the record. I just want to tell people, first of all, what he didn't know and what people didn't understand, you know, is that I produced our first hit record. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the only reason I went back to the studio and did anything is because my dad was like, yo, you made that hit record. Maybe you need to make a record. And this is so conflicting. When you listen to this guy's interviews and stuff, he says he came to the studio with his lyrics. Now, my lyrics were Bass Rock Express, okay? And I had the whole song written out and everything. He says this in the interview, but yet and still, and then everybody knows this record to be the first record to start that whole bass music trend. And so how did I come to the studio with my lyrics, the whole song written out, but he started bass music? You understand what I'm saying?
So let us be clear. Let us be clear, because, I mean, there's a lot of people listening to this. So let us be very clear. When you're saying he, are you referring to the engineer? Or are you referring
to the
poppy guy?
The engineer, Amos, yes.
Okay, so Amos is disputing who produced the record. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay,
right.
I want to be clear. So Poppy Willie is instigating that. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay, exactly. Just remember, these are alleged lately, so I just want to be very clear, and I want to be clear when you're talking about he and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. All right, so yeah. Basically you're saying that gentleman who we have not spoken to, so Amos is saying that he was one of the producers on the record and not just the engineer. Is that the understanding right. here?
Right. Okay. Well, I will tell people this because he says, well, he helped me on my voice part and what have you. Okay. He may have, because he showed me how to do and work with the stuff in the studio. But producing my music, you understand what I'm saying? That first of all, what people got to understand by him, he grew up, when we met him as an engineer, what have you, when we met him, he was like a black guy wanting to be white. Okay. He knew nothing about street music, about funk, none of that. Okay, his style of music, he was doing something different.
Adrian, and let me ask you a question. Who was in the studio on that record? Who was in that studio with you?
And which record?
The record you're referring to right now that he claims that he produced.
Bass Rock Express.
Yeah, who was in the studio?
Me, him, and my dad.
Oh, okay. So only you three was in that studio.
Right, but you got to understand, he's saying that he came up with this concept for bass music. And what I'm saying is, this is where it's impossible at. Because he says in his own, a lie, you can never tell it correctly again and again. He says that I came to the studio and I had my lyrics and, you know, I had the song and everything already written. But the song, first of all, he did not know what we were doing when we came to the studio because he was just an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't tell him anything. So when we got to the studio,
Did he own the studio? Uh-huh. He worked for the studio.
He worked for the studio. Okay. But here's the brilliant part. How do we get to the studio? We never talked about what we're doing, anything. He had no clue of what we're doing. But we get to the studio, and I got this whole song, and there's no other song talking about bass. There's no other ideas, nothing, none of that going on at the time. So he just testified on his interview saying, I came to the studio with my lyrics already. The song was called Bass Rock Express. The whole song was already written out. You dig what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is, it doesn't make sense for anybody out there who's questioning this. It doesn't make sense that before I even got to the studio with him and I had my ideas and everything as he testified, and there was no other records or nothing out before this time, you know, then it leaves to, you know, to belief, even by his testimony, that I had to come up with this whole situation. This was my idea, my agenda.
So let me ask you this. Did he make any more records in that genre?
He did. But see, what you got to understand about him, you know, he's one of those kind of guys, he stole music. He would copycat music. And, you know, I had this little tit for tat going on Facebook, and I went on and called him a bold-faced liar and different things because I know what happened. But I'll tell you this. I said, you know what? I'm not going to talk about it. I'll show you better than I can tell you when I start, you know, doing this other stuff, working with my daughter and stuff. And I did this, like the record you hear, Bass Mechanic. Mm-hmm. So, okay, I tell you what, if you did me back in the day, like you say you did, because I only made one record with this dude, I got a slew of hits. So if anybody got a brain, they can understand that, yo, this dude was doing his own thing. But no problem. Here we are, 2018. I just put a new record on the table. Step up to the plate. You do one now.
Mm. The challenge has been made, right?
The challenge is on.
It just got heated up in here, New York. I'm listening to AD. It sounded like back when LL Cool J was going in with Kumo D for a second. I thought you was about to bust a rhyme up in here or something, man. KRS-One and MC Sharon, you know what I mean? The bridge is over.
Yeah.
Is it? Oh my god, ADE was like, the bass is over, the bass is over. Okay.
Okay. It's over, real talk.
It is going down. Why does it always gotta happen here in New York when the controversy starts? What really going on, man? No, no.
Because people get thirsty for you know, the entertainment and the paparazzi, you know, and and when it came around with this whole bass thing, he just, it was like, you know, it was a claim to fame, man. It was like, yo. And then, like I said, because his name was put on the record for, just like the Beefbox record, the first record, you know, engineer that we work with a lot and has, you know, done great work with us, but he was put down as producer. I was put down on that record for special effects. You understand what I'm saying?
So let me ask you this then. So this was the only record you guys did together, but yes. I guess the premise here, and I'm just speaking on based off information on one side here now, he's basically trying to claim, according to you, is that he was really responsible for bass music and not
right,
you
exactly.
Is that the understanding
right.
here
right but all right but that's impossible when I'm telling people
did he have any other hit records outside
nothing.
Of the record he did with
nothing.
You
nothing what, everything he did after that, you know, because remember, their company, they could put out records real fast at the time.
Uh-huh.
The company he was working for, they were very advanced in, you know the music business, you know what I'm saying? But they were doing like Betty Wright and Casey and the Sunshine Band and all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? And
so they already had a machine in place.
Right. And that's the people who he worked for. So when we went in the studio and did Bass Rock Express, then he came and then he made Ghetto Jump and Funky Little Beat and all this. But even if you listen to these songs, they all start having, everything came after that. Because remember, we had a record store. So we were getting the records soon as they were coming out. And we were seeing how all it was doing was mimicking. I put him on. You understand what I'm saying? Because as a kid, I was young, but as a kid, he learned from me because he was not doing no kind of music like that, period. He was in the dance. He was doing the label that he was with. They was on a whole different vibe. You understand what I'm saying? So when I came along and I did that cut with him, and mind you, the guy who he worked for, Henry Stone, they was in business to make money. All they wanted to do was sell.
Oh my God! Did you just say Henry Stone?
Yes, sir.
Hot Apple Records.
Yes.
Oh man, this has just got real deep here, ladies and gentlemen. So I want y'all to listen for 1 second. You heard that? You heard that? Shots fired. Oh man, do you know my first record was on Hot Apple Records at Henry Stone?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, my the rhyme gets rough and I'm taking
it. let's just
say that I only did one single on there, two records.
Exactly.
That was it. This is not my fight, okay?
But now you understand what I was dealing with.
All I can say, you can Google my record and you can see the picture, and it says Henry Stone Music, and I haven't seen any of the publishing or anything, so. I would just be like, wow, that's pretty
deep.
Yeah,
but that's how they did business. And he was working for Henry. And Henry had him like a mule up in there. You understand? Whatever was hot, whatever was popping, that's what they jumped on. And when we did Beefbox, the first record, that record, we had all the pressing plants in Miami pressing. So it was hot. And we even had Henry Stone pressing the record for us. So the thing was,
He had Latrim too. That was one of his big records, Latrim.
Yeah.
We got the cars that go boom.
Yeah, we got the cars that go boom. Mm-hmm. And so the thing was, he was like, okay, make me more records like this. You understand? So it was a copycat situation. You know, that's how that went on.
This just got real, man. Wow.
One of his friends, this Amos dude friends, hit me on Facebook. I didn't know the cat from, you know, a can of paint. And he said to me, he said, I'm glad you did what you did and exposed him. I got the message. Okay, in my, I got the message.
Well, I think you just went worldwide right now. So this is it. Shots fired, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just saying, I'm in the house. I'm just looking out the window, as they say. Go ahead.
So the guy says to me, he says, "I'm glad you said it." He said, "Everything you said," because I said how he stole the music, how he just, you know, duplicated, and how he said he grew up with him. He was with his family. He knew everything about him. And he said he used to work with them back in the day with TK Records and all that. And he said that's what went on. He said that's how things happen. And that's what this guy Amos has done to, they've done it to multiple people. You know, this
I have to be clear, Adrian, because we're worldwide, okay? Allegedly, and this is, I'm going to just leave it at that. The opinions expressed here are strictly those of our guests and his experiences, not necessarily that of our sponsors, our advertisers, and because we love our advertisers. Go ahead.
So, you know, that's what, you know, like I said, that's what happened with that. But again, we can talk all day, you know, men and women lie, but numbers don't lie. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it, like I said, with the new record, you know, when people hearing that now, they're like, whoa, how were you able to bring like that old sound and make it new? How did you do that? And I'll tell people how I did that. From one, you know, that will prove to you, you know, who was doing the work and who was doing what was, you know, going on. But mainly how I was able to do it is because I study the word, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And the word makes you wise.
Absolutely.
And it makes you wise in all things. So when I see music today, it really bugged me out. When I start working back with my daughter with music, it's like I could see a grid like the Matrix.
What is your daughter rap name? What is your daughter rap name?
Miss Drea.
Miss Drea. Oh, okay. Miss Drea, the Miss Drea show. Miss Drea show, right?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. So it's like now when I see music, it really bugs me out, because now when I go in the studio and I, you know, I work with engineers, you know, just the same way I work with every other engineer I've worked with. And, you know, because I'm like you would say, like the Steven Spielberg, and, you know, I'm directing the whole show because I know what I want. I know in seconds. And what has happened with being away from music so long and coming back now, it's like I said, it's just like the Matrix. I can just see it, you know, what goes where, and there's no time in wasting on that doesn't work, this works, that doesn't work. It's almost computer like. And even the engineers that I work with, they bug out because they're like, how do you hear? And, you know, it's like you see in this music, like you know, and that's a blessing. But I attribute that to the word, because when you concentrate, when you're learning about the Father and when you're learning about him, there's nothing greater than to your imagination, to your understanding, than understanding him. Mm-hmm. So everything else is child's play.
And I like to say that, and here's what I want to build on that, and that is, a wise man once told me a long time ago, he said that you got the word and you got the world. And he say, if you take the world, WORLD, he said if you take out the L, he say, what are you left with? The word. He say that's the difference. He say the L represents the lies. And I said, wow. So now I understand what it means. Like you can't have two masters. You know what I mean? You either for the word or the world. And look
that's
at
right.
The difference is, Kevin, I can hear calls coming. And can you cut that off, please? We're not taking any calls. I just want to finish the interview. WORLD, I always tell people, just take that and take the L out and you have the word. And that's the difference between the word and the world, you know, and that happens every day. And that L, just that one letter, represents the lies.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to live in the world, you can't possibly, you know, be for the word and vice versa. Yes. You know what I mean? So it's amazing that you say that. Boy, you took this interview somewhere else. Totally. You just shots fired. You just came out with like a machine gun just letting off. You ain't tell nobody you're going to let off. You know what I mean? We need to call a SWAT up in here. hold on. You're going to have to hold that thought for a second, man. Okay. We got 15 minutes left. We got to take this break. You are listening to The Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. We'll be right back after this message.
VashaniRadio.com is global. You can listen on any computer or mobile device that connects to the internet. Simply go to VashaniRadio.com and click on the show you would like to hear. Then sit back and enjoy yourself with powerful and positive talk radio. VashaniRadio.com, New York City. Always talking about everything.
The fastest growing music app in the U.S. Why? Because we connect you to all of your favorite music and radio stations in one free app. And this fall, prepare to take control of how you listen to the radio.
Replay.
That song on your radio you just can't hear enough? Immediately replay and sing along again.
Save.
Save the music you love on the radio directly to your playlist.
Play.
Search for and play any song on demand.
Skip.
Unlimited skips.
Offline.
Take the music from your favorite stations offline. Introducing iHeartRadio Plus and iHeartRadio All Access. Your radio now on demand.
The new celebration rules are in place and Pepsi is all for it. Antonio, what have you got in mind? Bit of a throwback. Looks like the Charleston. You never see that in football or anywhere.
Hours a day, 7 days a week, on demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. VashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it
locked. Keep it locked. Welcome back. You are listening to The Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And it's not a game, it's a lifestyle. You know, you can reach me at BennyRandall.com or BennyOnDemand.com. This episode is brought to you by Black Panther in theaters on February 16th. Make sure y'all go out and check that. Man, it just got real hot in here. You know what I mean? You know, like when you're interviewing people and stuff, you already know where you're going to take the interview, and then they switch it up on you. Like he was all nice and calm when we first started off. You know what I mean? He came in here all like, and then we got like to the 30-minute point, and he was like, yo, let me tell you how it's going down, man. Bro, this is how we doing it, man. You don't understand. Now that I created these beats, you don't even understand what's a sin. This boy's still in music. I was like, yo, hold up. What part did I miss in this interview?
Okay.
We got MCADE, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it's really going down, and I know we're going to get a lot of feedback from this. and make sure you check us out on iHeartRadio worldwide and BashaniRadio.com. But you know what? I like when a show goes like this because it allows you to be who you are, because a lot of times people want to censor. And I like to allow people to flow how they flow. This is the same reason I don't give out any questions prior to a show. We're speaking to MCADE, rapper, producer, battle rapper, politician. just one. I'm just joking. And then now off the man. Go ahead. You was about to say something before we went to break, AD.
I just was telling your people that, like I teach my daughter, learn, you know, the father says, seek the kingdom first.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get everything else you'll get, you know. And me seeking the word and learning that word, it's like a workout. You can do, you know, they tell you 15 minutes a day, you know, just for a workout. But the father, the word is so powerful, he just tell you that if you gave him, you know, that one day, that Sabbath out the week, and you took that time to meditate on the word, you know, it's so powerful that it will convict you just from that. And whatever you're trying to do, whatever you're trying to understand, it will be made plain to you. You will become powerful. The word will make you powerful.
Mm, very, very powerful. And that's absolutely true, man. And I think that the goodness of this right here, it shows your passion for your art. It also shows your passion for your history. And I understand it, you know, because when you've worked so hard to build something all your life, you know what I mean? It just to have somebody come and try to deny that, I can totally understand, you know, the ramifications of that. Kevin, I'm still hearing beeps in my ear. Please, can you stop that? So I understand your passion, you know, that you're getting, you know, when you're talking about this, because I can hear it. But you made a great point, and that point was very simple. That's what happened then. I just dropped something in 2018. Don't talk about it. Be about it.
Be about it. Real talk.
Show me what you're working with. If you the hottest producer, and I think that's how grown men should do it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if you say you do this, then show me.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So the challenge has been put out there from Mr. ADE.
That's right.
Let's get clear right now.
Let's get
clear. What is your challenge to this gentleman? Is that if you truly created your sound, then he should bring out a record right now.
Right now.
To show.
You know what I'm saying?
That's how it's really going down.
He couldn't now produce me on his best day.
Woo, woo. Ladies and gentlemen, it just got hot up in here. More shots fired, please. I need everybody to stay in place. How do they say that? Stay in place. So, you know what I mean? And we thought the Twitter fights with Trump was bad. It's going down up in here. It's all good, man. It's all good. You heard it first right here on the Benny Randa Show, live from New York City and globally on iHeartRadio. Man, we better get into this book before you almost over. Okay. You went way out there. Here I am. You know, you have things in your head. Okay, I'm going to do them this. I'm going to hit them this way, and I'm going to hit them this way. He was like, this is how it was going down right here, bro. It's going to be hard to transition to this book now when we just came from this high level now. So, What Is the Soul? That's the new book by Adrian Hines. Why that book, man? Why not the history of music? Why not, I heard the song, My Daddy Made That Bass. Why not My Daddy Made That Bass book? Why the soul? Tell my listeners.
Well, the reason for that book is because that came to me one day, you know, and I would encourage people to read it. It is very informative and changing.
Yeah, I have read it myself, so I definitely can attest to that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I definitely have read it. But yeah, go ahead. For those that haven't read it, give us a little synopsis of the book itself.
It's basically, it tells how I came to stand one day the age-old question of what is the soul? We know what the flesh is. You know, we say, what is the flesh? You know what the flesh is, your body, the flesh. The spirit that's in you, we know that's the breath of the Father that he breathed into our nostrils. And we can't even see that. But the soul, when you ask a person or people, what is the soul? And they give you, you know, anecdotal, you know, answers. It's the characteristics of a man. It's who a person really is and this and that. No, everything else is specific. Okay. And the way the Father works, everything is, it has a meaning. It's specific. It's math to it. It's not just some hocus pocus. So you know what the flesh is, you know what the spirit is. Now give me a real tangible meaning for the soul. And in the book, it tells you what the soul is.
So, you know, there's a lot of people don't believe we even have a soul. What do you say to those people?
Well, they're not, if you, like I said, if you don't believe, because I see a lot of people and they have the Bible, okay? They have, you know, the Bible, King James Version, what have you, and a lot of them, they said, if you had another book in your hand and you're telling me something different, you know, it's like, don't have that book and tell me something different, because now you sound stupid. Uh-huh. You understand what I'm saying? Because that book says specifically what it says. And if you're going saying something totally different, then you should have another book. You should create your own book. Don't have that book in your hand. Don't, because if you came to me with a duck goose book, then guess what? I can't say nothing to you. I can't say it. But when you come with the same book, and I see in this book it says this, and you see in this book it says the same thing, and you're saying something different, that's just asinine. I just can't function with that.
Absolutely. So let me ask you something now. You say you was watching this program on PBS, reading a book, and something hit you. What happened in that moment?
Well, what happened in that moment, I was flicking through the channels.
Uh-huh.
And it was one of the old African groups. And they were, I think it was one of the, it was the Mozambique or something. But they did a song with, I have Betty, you can call me Al. What was that guy's name? The white guy. He was going around, and I think he was doing Lion King. I can't remember,
but okay.
His name, he's a very popular white guy producer. Anyway, he did a song, he did some stuff with them, but anyway, they were on PBS channel. The music was playing. I flipped past it. I heard them. I checked it out, and then I kept going. But what happened, this strange thing happened to me. Listen, I'm not into crazy stuff. I'm not into, you know, all the, you know, psychic or any foolishness.
Uh-huh.
But something happened, dude. Something happened to me. I felt, I had a feeling. And I was like, wait a minute. Am I tripping? You know, and I'm turning the TV, but I'm like, wait a minute. I felt something. So I went back to the channel just to check myself. And then I started listening to them, and they were singing these old African hymns or whatever, you know. And they had a nice chorus going on, real harmony. And the feeling came back. And I was like, wait a minute. Oh, man, wait, what is going on here? I don't know why that happened that day. You know, what happened? I just know it started doing what I, you know, you hear sayings all the time, but you're never able to actually apply them until they happen. And the saying that it came to mind was, it felt like my soul was stirring.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, whoa. And then when I started thinking about it, it was like the Father just started letting information come to me, you know, and, you know, because of, like I said, studying the word. And it just, my brain, it just started opening up. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Whoa. And then that's how I started understanding. He just let it come to me on what was going on with me, and that it was my soul stirring.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the soul? And it was just powerful. And the reason it's so powerful to know what the soul is, because you got to know yourself.
Absolutely.
And if you read the book, then you understand how all this makes sense. Because when you understand this and you understand how to use it and how you control it, you know, and who, you know, who's in control and makes the choices.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have, you know, like in the book, it tells you we have three minds in this one entity. Mm. You got three different minds going on. And one you are in control of, and that's the soul, you know. So
let me ask you this. Let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. That you say that. I was once told that the mind is an excellent servant, but a bad master. And a lot of times people are led by the mind instead of led by the soul. Because the mind wants to connect you to the lower entity things, you know, that, you know, it's the same way the mind can be your biggest cheerleader or your worst enemy and cause you to procrastinate. Let me ask you this question then. You just said something about the soul. Do you think when we come in this physical form, and I'm about to go real deep here. Do you think when we come in this physical form, because the mind is connected to the worldly things, do you think the mind has the ability to take over the soul if we allow it to? Or is the soul always there, but will fight against it? I'm just curious what your thoughts are.
Well, my thoughts on that is here again, far as the understanding.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit has a mind. The flesh has a mind. And the soul has a mind. So it's not like the mind is separate from the soul. The soul has a mind. As the spirit has a mind, as the flesh has a mind. You understand what I'm saying? So, and what you did say, which sounds correct when you says the mind is a good servant,
but a bad master.
But it could be a bad master because you see the mind, which you control, which is the soul. You understand what I'm saying? That mind is if you. That's why the book tells us. It says, you know, choose, and you choose either, you know, to follow the flesh or follow the spirit.
Mm.
So when you follow, here comes in that servant thing where you're following the spirit. You understand what I'm saying? So that will work along with what you just said. And the flesh mind, you know, not to follow that mind, because either mind, which one you follow, will be your master.
Very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. Now, I was once told that the most important days in your life are the day you was born and the day you find out why you was born. My question to you, Adrian, why were you born?
To spread the gospel.
You got to give me more than that, brother.
That is our number one job, every last one of us. So, in a nutshell, that's what it is. That's really as simple as it is. It's really not complicated. Mm-hmm. It's just spreading the gospel, just spreading the good news. That's it. It's that simple.
What do you want your legacy to be? And here, and before you answer that, here's why I like when people write books, because you know I've written about 10 books now. excuse me. Here's why I like when people write books, and I try to encourage people to do that. It's because this book is going to live beyond you. There's people who's going to get this book long after you're gone, and it's going to be for some of them, and then some of them will never get it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Michelangelo. He was the famous painter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding, he didn't really sell a lot of his work while he was alive.
Yeah.
And in fact, he didn't really make any money. But now they're worth millions and millions of dollars.
Yes.
To me, that's the same concept with our words. The word is very powerful. And when we put it into print, it's going to outlive you, me, your children, and your children's children. So my question to you, brother, what do you want your legacy to be?
I want my legacy to be that somebody turned to the Father and you know, got saved, because that's a misnomer. You ain't saved till resurrection, when he come back here and tell you, okay, you good. Okay, mm-hmm. So ain't no such thing. But I want people to, far as putting them in that direction where they can be, you know, one in that number. That is what I want my legacy to be, because at the end of the day, I believe when they open that book up and I'm standing before them, I want my credits to be in there. That's what I'm working on. You understand what I'm saying? I'm working on, you know, having a good look in that book.
Uh-huh. So let me ask you this too. That's extraordinary. And I love the transition as you've grown, because that's, you know, I went through my growth process and that's how I got here. You know what I mean? And, you know, when I was young, I thought I was supposed to be the biggest rapper in the world. And I realized, no, it wasn't. I was supposed to be one of the biggest speakers in the world. And that's where I am right now. And
all right.
What I learned is that, you know, you got to be able to adjust and you got to be able to pivot for whatever it is, because, you know, I didn't know why my voice had changed. Because if you listen to my very first record on Hot Apple Records, I sound like Minnie Mouse, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, versus mm-hmm. where I'm at now. And, you know, it was here, you know, that took me to seven figure land. And so that's mm-hmm. why I say you never know what your journey is, but you got to be open to it.
That's right.
Your journey has been a long in music, and now it's showing another side of you. But will you allow people, will there be another book that allowing people to understand some of the stuff that you just dropped here with us today about your music business? Yes, I want to make sure I got an exclusive right now. Go ahead.
Okay, you saying about the music business?
I'm saying is, will there be a book to let us know all of this stuff that we just heard today in the music business, because that is part of your journey?
Yeah, I guess if they can get it out of me. You know what I'm saying?
Hold up, AD. Who is them? They got to get.
I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I'm like DJ Khaled, man. I don't know. Them, you know?
Okay. So here's what I can tell you this, and maybe this, you know, I'm going to put this out there. You know, a lot of times we are writers and whatever, but your story, you don't have to think about your story, because your story's already happened. So, yeah, you know, you can actually talk your book out and have somebody else transcribe it for you. Just putting that into the universe. I'm just trying to say right there. Because I the reason why I asked that, because I got to see the death of yourself when I read the book, What Is Your Soul? But mm-hmm. I also know the death of your music career and what other people's can learn from that, because there's so many things, as you said, and we just touching the bar of it, so many things that you learned along the way. It would seem to be a shame not to share that with up and coming artists, because there's always going to be musicians, there's always going to be producers, and they can learn a lot from what you have done, man. You are part of history, and it is your it is your duty to share it with others, because it wasn't just for you.
Well, maybe this is where your talent can come in, and you can motivate me to that.
Didn't I tell you that guy, this guy running for office with Oprah in 2020? Didn't I tell you all that? Did you just see how he just switched that around there and just threw it on me like I had something to do with it? No, this is you, brother.
this is everything you were saying. You never know how things go. And look where we come at today, and what you're saying is important. And I need motivation in that department, because I am lacking enthusiasm in that. You uh-huh. know what I'm saying? But I understand what you're saying, and it means a lot to people, and, you know, and different things. So I am considerate of all of that. Right. You right. know, even though my passion and my is more so my belief and uh-huh. salvation after all of this here,
which is all it's all happening, because you have complete upper, and I'm sure there are going to be more books as you get, because when you read the book, ladies and gentlemen, I got to be clear here. I read the book, and here's what I got from it, though, is that we all have an awakening at some point in our lives, and it's whether we begin to acknowledge that and search for it, you know. That, you know, because you have to grow, because if you're not growing, you're dying. It's just that simple. You have to grow. When people say they're retired, you know, that's why I always notice when people say they retire, they expire. Because you have to wake up to something, ladies and gentlemen. You have to wake up and be inspired. And one thing I know about God, he didn't put none of us here to just wake up and have no dreams, no visions.
I know that's right.
You know what I mean? A man without no dreams or visions is a dead man walking. It's just that simple.
I know that's right.
You got to look for it. So that's why it's always something. That book, what you just wrote, was meant to happen. Okay? The music you just put out back then was meant to happen. And the one you just put out, excuse me, was meant to happen. Your daughter was meant to be who she is, and she had to be and come through you to get where she has to go.
I want
to
put one thing all right. I want to cut you off. I apologize, but listen.
He said, I want to cut you off, but I'm going to cut you off.
Okay. I want to say one thing.
Go.
That, you know, in England and all of that, you have royalty, you have Queen Elizabeth, and then she had Prince Charles, and then he had his kids, what have you. It doesn't matter about money. It doesn't matter about how famous you are. You're not getting in the royal family if you're not through the royal blood. So I say that to say, and I know I'm finna punch a lot of them in the belly right now, that Miss Drea, my daughter, because her grandfather started hip hop, you understand, in the South. Her father came along and was a part of that and did what he did. You understand, you know, me, her dad did what he did in the South. We started that whole thing. So legacy-wise, she is the queen of the South. All she had to do is touch the mic. You understand what I'm saying? All she had to do is accept her inheritance. She is the queen of the South. And Trina and nobody else can take that away from her, because Trina does not have that legacy. Okay, it don't go that way, baby. The math, okay, that's just how it go. It's by blood.
As the brothers in Brooklyn says, and in Harlem, what's the mathematics?
It's by blood, not relation.
Oh boy, you just now I can see why he didn't want to come on when we invited him earlier. This boy was setting up to just drop bombs all day long, dude. We gotta get off here because we passed our hour. Okay. But let me tell you, man, it was well worth it, because we tried to get him on early. He was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be there, wait on it. You know what I mean? I'm a beat on it. Wait on it. Then, ladies and gentlemen, he dropped the book, and this is facts. He dropped the book and say, I'm ready. I said, oh, my brother had a plan. Oh, okay.
Yes, sir.
We had a plan, because when it was hot, you know, we was trying to get him in here because we wanted to hear his part, because we had Ron May, we had Gigolo Tony, you know what I mean? We invited Luke, and we just wanted to get it down. And he was like, oh, I'm ready, bro. You ready? I'm ready. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It is what it is. No, but that was powerful, though, man. And, whoo, boy. All I'm gonna tell you, please don't blow up our email box. Just be nice, man, because please don't blow up. You, man, you came out like I didn't even expect all of this from here, but it's powerful though, and I'm so glad we recorded it. I'm so glad we got it on tape. As they say, if it ain't in black and white, it ain't right. And you know what I mean?
That's right.
We did. All right, AD, your final words. I'm scared to ask you what your final words are.
I want to thank everybody, you know, who's, you know, been fans of the situation and new fans, and to go out and get that new record, Bass Mechanic. My daddy made that bass. More important as well, get that book. It's entitled What is the Soul? You can go to Amazon, you know, you just pull it up or what have you, all Barnes and Nobles, it's out there. And I just like to say, you know, to the people, put the Father first, and that's not in no humbug way, that's real talk. It will make you powerful. It will give you so much power and wisdom till, man, you can be a real Superman. Believe that.
Okay. We love our listeners all over the world. London, Brazil, you know, we even got people listening to the show in Bora Bora. All right.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean?
Viva Brazil!
We're going to put you on the spot right now. We love to give. For one or two of our listeners, what are you going to give out today?
Because
we're going to do a question about this interview. And if they email us with the right answer, which means they got to listen to the show in order to get the right answer.
And we give them a single in the book.
There it is. All right. So we're going to send out the question. And here's for those that are listening. Earlier in this conversation, he mentioned when his first record came out that he produced, and what was it? If you can answer that question, send us an email, and we're going to make sure you get that copy. That's only two people, okay? We got 2 million, but we only giving two, okay? All right, so if you can answer that question, you'll get a copy of the hot new single, My Daddy Made That Bass.
I know that's right.
And that book, Where is the Soul? You know what I mean?
What is the soul?
I apologize. What is the soul? This has been extraordinary interview, AD. We it was so hot. We went over our time. So, but it was worth it. It's absolutely worth it. if people want to reach out to you, want to know where you're going to be performing next, things that you're going to be doing, how can they find out more information about you, sir?
You can go to my Facebook, which is Adrian, MCADE Hines. Or you can go to my daughter's page, which is Miss Drea.
Do you have a public page or a private page?
It's public.
Okay, cool.
It's public.
No, the reason why I'm saying, because in the private pages, they only limit you to 5,000 people. You know what I mean? In the public, you can have 18 million people.
Oh, okay.
That's the difference. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, well, you can go to my daughter's page as well. It's Miss Drea. That's MS.DRIA. Miss Drea. And, you can hit us up like that,
All righty, cool. And once again, they can get that book where?
They can get it at Barnes & Noble's, Amazon.com, Kindle, all your usual.
Yeah, you definitely can because that's how I purchased it. Yeah, I purchased a copy. He didn't send me no free copy. All right. I just put that out there. Okay. So, but yeah, I purchased it I read it on because. I read a lot, so if I don't have the book in my library, I put it on my iPad. You know what I mean? That way, when I'm traveling, that's when I get to read a lot. So, and this book is actually worth it, is what I'm gonna tell you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not just saying he didn't pay me anything to say that, but it's a really good read. Now, like I said before, it is a little deep in certain parts now. So, but sometimes we read stuff and we don't get it, and then you come back to it at another time and you get it. I mean? And I think that, but that song, My Daddy Made My Bass, you're going to get that right away. Because soon as that bass drop, you're going to get it right away. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So I definitely feel that. And man, I appreciate you, man. you gave us one of those interviews where you don't know where the people going to go out, sort of like with Rod May and then certain of these people on here. I remember a long time ago, rest his soul, I interviewed Flavor Flav. Boy, that was one of those interviews that was just, I couldn't tell where we was going. I had a lot of fun, man. A lot of fun. MCAD, man, thank you. Adrian Hines, the author. I appreciate it, man, and all that you do. And thank you for coming here and blessing not only New York City, but worldwide. Remember, we get it first here, Brooklyn, Queens, Long Island, Staten, Manhattan. Y'all know what's happening. If you ain't heard, now y'all heard now, right? You know what I mean? As we go out in the show, we're going to drop a little bit of that new jam. Y'all better wake up to some of this. New York on that bass now. They took them a long time, but they here.
I performed up in New York too, over, and it was the night, I guess, when they kicked PM Don off stage with KRS-One, his crew, when they kicked my man off stage and yada yada.
Where was he, in Manhattan or the Bronx?
I think that was in Manhattan. That was in Manhattan at the Factory or somewhere. Hip hop night. Rhymes and everybody was there. He was with Leaders of the New School back then.
Okay. Yeah, because I know a lot of things happen at Palladium, you know, that club, that bigger club, and then the Music Factory.
So. They kicked my man off stage that night. I mean,
and you got on and ripped it?
I got on and ripped it. You know what I'm saying? D-Nice introduced me, but he kind of played me for a sucker move because he was like, ADE from Florida, and the crowd, you know what I'm saying? The crowd went booing instantly, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh.
Well, that was when they wasn't accepting, you know, that was back in the days now. I want to be clear, ladies and gentlemen. That's when they wasn't accepting, you know what I mean? Because D-Nice is all over the place here at all the parties. Yeah. Him and Kid Capri, DJ Red Alert, Chuck Chill Out. You know what I mean? Yeah. They still murdering the scene here, flexing everybody. So, but you know, I want to be clear. That was back then. This wasn't like last week. Okay.
No. And he did that, but even my DJ who was with me, he didn't even want to come on stage. He went up in the booth with Clark Kent, and and I was like, no problem, dude. You know, because he ain't want no pressure. But I went on stage by myself, and I just told the people, I was like, yo. Y'all like what y'all like, and we in the bottom like what we like. But tonight, I'm going to show y'all how we do it. And I was like, yo, boo, boo, boo. DJ kicked the beat, and he hit the song. But what happened, what the people didn't know, I had a song in the top 10 on BLS that they were listening to and jamming to. You understand what I'm saying? It was called All Out Bash. And when they put the jam on, the crowd went crazy, and the rest is history.
There it is. See, you just never know until you come here. New York is one of those places now. They're accepting of a lot of music now, but it wasn't. I know how it was back when. So, you know, because everybody wanted to be in New York. They felt if you had your music in New York, you had it everywhere. So, that was it. But now it's so open, man. You got people collaborating, and you know, I guess you go through moments. You see what I'm saying? You go through moments and whatever. But here's another lesson. ADE, we gotta get out this show, bro. We got another interview coming up. So, but here's another lesson: is why I say it's important to recount what you've learned and experiences, because you see all these little stories you had about, you know, things like that. You know, new artists can learn a lot from that, because a lot of them think that now, you know, in this digital world, you know, you just do a song on YouTube and you start making millions of dollars, but they don't know it's a struggle. They don't know those contracts, and now they want 360 deals now. They want a piece of everything, you know.
That's right.
Et cetera, et cetera. Yes, you can, but this is why I'm saying the adventures of MC ADE, my journey of bass music. Yeah, I just gave it to you right there. Take that, bad boy. Take that, bad boy.
Yeah.
Just say my boy, the motivator, just told me about the title. That's all I want from it. That's all. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But that I can see that happening, and you know why I can see that happening? Because you took us from different places in this interview. And, you know, when you go back and listen to this interview, I think you'll get what I'm saying here.
I get it already.
You know what I mean?
It sounded good. Real talk. I like that.
You took us from one place to another place. And the beauty of taking us to those places is you don't have to relive it. You just have to remember it. Why? Because it was an experience, and you can hear the passion. And honestly, I think you will help a lot of artists, because that's what I'm finding out, you know, as I write more books and speak to millions of people around the world. People don't realize your life is a book. You just got to you just got to distinguish which chapter you're going to expose. You know what I mean? But you got to remember, there is no lesson that you have learned that's for you. And like I like to say, in every blessing, there's a lesson. In every lesson, there is a blessing. So everything you went through and you survive MCADE is because God is telling you you ain't shared it with enough people yet. And that's what your job is, whether you know it or not. Everything that you get through, you can help. If you help just one person.
That's right.
Just one. You don't know who that person will be, because you remember there was just one man, we probably don't know his name, that gave Oprah her start. You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
And she went on to inspire millions and millions of people. So technically he was the architect of those millions of people, because he gave her the opportunity. The same your father gave you the opportunity, and you became the architect of the music genre. And now the universe is saying you have to repay. And that's what you're doing through your daughter. You don't know if your daughter will hit billions of people, but it is your job. But at the same time, there is a lot that you have experienced that can help other people, because you never can know everything. So I just want to put that out there, man. All right.
Yeah. It's pretty dope. It's pretty dope. And, you know, like I said, I appreciate it. I appreciate you.
Yeah, and, brother. Likewise. You know, and for all of those listening, just make sure, hit us with those emails. Let us know the question that we asked. When did he put out the first record? And what did it produce? And what was it called? That's important, okay? If you got those answers right, you could get one of those copies. It's not a game. It's a lifestyle. Mr. ADE, we got to get out of here, my brother. Any last words?
Peace.
Yeah. That's the shortest he's done all day, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I'm going to tell you. That's the shortest. You got to listen to this show. I'm telling you, you got to rewind this. I want you to have a Benny Randall episode party, because this is one of them shows that it just went down in the books. And guess what? We recorded it, ladies and gentlemen. So if you hear excerpts from on TMZ or something like that, they got it from us. All right?
All right.
And they better give us some money, too. All right. Let's go. Mr. AD, thank you for being here, my brother.
All right. Thank you, my brother.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, if you ain't learned nothing else, I hope you learned this. In your journey, there's things that you supposed to share. In your journey is unique. You know, there is no two people. Everybody's like a snowflake. Everybody's singular. There is no two people that's exactly alike in the universe. God don't make those type of mistakes. Even identical twins are different if you really get to know them. So I say all of that to say this. Do you be the best you that you can be? Because guess what? Cancel your subscription to all that negative energy around you. And do you, because there's nobody who can do you better than you. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. You can learn more about me at BennyRandall.com or BennyOnDemand.com, our private community. Until next week, it's going down. Mr. ADE, thank you very much. Have a good night, ladies and gentlemen. I love you.
My people, get in the cryptocurrency. Get that crypto. It's the future.
Ladies and gentlemen, if we don't end this show, we will never get off, because he keep going to whole different elements. Good night, Mr. ADE.
Good night.
I'm your bass mechanic. You want that bottom, we got it. We dropping low, low, low. Now they shaking, we got it. I'm your bass mechanic. You know we banging that bottom. We about to blow, blow, blow. Bring it back up and drop it. My daddy, take that back. 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 My daddy, take that back.
Randall. I love the Billy Randall. I love the Billy Randall Show. Yeah. I love the Billy Randall. I love the Billy Randall. I love the Billy Randall Show.
Thank you for listening to another great episode of BashaniRadio.com. Make sure to like Bashani Radio on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to us on YouTube. All of our social media connections are located on BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything.